Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Go ahead, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and reach for it tonight. If you need, if you've got an app on your phone, go ahead and sign in and get that thing ready. Let's go to the book of James. The book of James. You know what? I tell you what, we're right here in the middle of this series. We're going to wrap it up tonight. And I tell you what, it is good to be back in the pulpit. I know people are like, well, but you're on the platform every Sunday, every Wednesday singing. Singing and leading worship and delivering the word, two different things. Worship will always be near and dear to my heart. I believe that's why I was created. But I've got this newfound love for communicating to God's people the word of God and communicating it and giving people hope, giving people a shot. I think for too long, we as the church and people in general have just believed so much talk and so much media that we don't even feel like we got a shot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so I get excited when I feel like I can give and share the tools that have been given to me to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and to shape up their families, shape up their marriages, shape up their kids, break out that rod of correction. How many knows the Bible says demand that spares the rod, hateth his children. I love my girls. They know I love them because I will. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I think for too long, the church has been a measuring stick, and we have used the church to say, this is how you're supposed to be living, and if you got to have it this way, and I'm not saying that's not correct, but I feel like we've used it as a measuring stick, and then sometimes people are like, well, there's no way I can measure up to that, so then they just slip out, or they're just like, I can't do that. Man, if I got to be like that, and I know that I can't, man, my life sucks. My marriage sucks. My family sucks. My kids suck. And y'all are going, oh my gosh, you keep saying that word. It's part of the message title. Y'all work with me. My job, it sucks. And what do you come to the conclusion you come to is my life sucks. And that, and it's true. It's true. All that, y'all can sit there and be like, I don't ever think that. You a lie. You a lie. Because things, bad things happen and we go, man, life sucks. And that's where we came up with this message to go, does life really suck? Is it really that bad? Everybody say new perspective. There we go. See, that's what we're doing. Because we must realize that perspective and perception, listen, it's a powerful tool. Perception is a powerful tool. As a matter of fact, in the hands of God, it's a tool that will thrust us forward into what he's called us to do. His perspective. That's a tool in his hands. It'll thrust us forward. But if it gets to be a tool in the hands of the enemy, he'll hold us back because of perspective. So it's a powerful thing. Listen, alone by myself, in my own perspective, can have debilitating consequences on my life. If I'm left by myself, I'm away from y'all, and I'm at home, or I'm riding through town, and I start thinking about the things that I'm going through in life. How many knows the enemy will put thoughts in your head, and you'll feel like you're all alone, and then you're just like, man, this bites. Like, this ain't right. So that's when you got to declare, I speak peace over my mind. Devil, get out of my mind. Get out of my home. Get out of my family. Get off my kids. Listen, I can quickly sabotage and get off course if I leave it to myself, if I'm not constantly relying on Jesus. So when life happens, everybody say life happens. Y'all seen that bumper sticker? Stuff happens. Life happens. And when it does, we've got to ask ourselves this question. Is it really that bad? God, help me get your perspective. Help take the tools out of the hands of the enemy of perspective. So I'm not quick to go to how he wants me to see it. I'm quick to say, God, how do you see this that's happening in my life? Okay. All right. Are you there? James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, it said, whenever you face trials. It didn't say if you face trials. It said, whenever. When you face trials. So we're all going to face trials. James said, consider it pure joy. We talked about this in part one. Consider means to perceive or to think about what you're going through in a joyful state. Now, I always read that, consider it pure joy. I always thought I'm supposed to be excited and happy that my life's falling apart. I'm supposed to be happy and excited that me and Amy are arguing. I'm supposed to be happy that my kids are talking back. I'm supposed to be happy in 1 month that my well stopped working and we had no water. In the same month, my garage door would not close and both of our cars were trapped in the garage. In the same month, I'm supposed to be happy that our air cut off at 3 o'clock in the morning. Amy was somewhere else for school and I'm in the house by myself with no air. I'm supposed to be happy. That's what the word said. Consider it joy when all that stuff happens. Hey, I can handle it when, you know, 1 month that happens, no water, cool, I'll fix that. I fixed that by myself, by the way, thanks to YouTube. I'm supposed to be happy. I can handle it when one thing happens, and then maybe a few weeks down the road, the air stops. Oh, praise God, I can handle this. And then my car gets trapped in the garage because the spring breaks. It's one thing that you can pull that lever and you can still push it up, but when the spring breaks, that's a death trap. I don't know if you ever worked on a garage and know how that works, but I have the utmost respect for garage doors now. After having done that, I had help, but it was crazy. But I was supposed to be, that's what the word says. I'm supposed to be happy about it. No. He says, consider it, which means to perceive it in a state of joy. I told you guys this a couple weeks ago that happiness and joy is a universal way. They're nowhere near each other, although in our mind we think they're first cousins. No. Happiness and joy are a universe away. Happiness is a feeling that is fleeting. But what James is saying is, I'm not interested in you being happy. I want you to look at whatever it is, the bad stuff, in a joyful manner, in a joyful state. Because, see, happiness is a feeling that's fleeting, and joy is something much deeper. Joy is a decision. I have to make a decision that intentional. Actually, It's probably a good idea that when you wake up, go ahead and be prepared for all hell to break loose and how you're going to respond. It's what I call the what if game. What if this happens? This is how I'll respond. Because y'all know, I've confessed before, my first response to something, if it catches me off guard, usually I got to repent for it. I'm going to end up saying something that's not cool. I'm going to say something that's against the word of God. I know I'm supposed to be trusting you, God, but really? You know, like that's usually my first response. So I like to come up with this thing called the what if game. What if this happens? I don't think anybody's prepared for your well, your garage, and your air all to happen at the same time. I wasn't ready for that. But joy is a decision and joy is a choice. And so what James is saying is the problem that you're going through, how many got something you're going through right now? What James is saying is the problem that you're going through, the thing that's got you all tormented and just messed up, isn't the problem. The problem is how you perceive the problem. The problem is how you look at what you're doing. The problem was how I responded in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock when I realized I'm sweating bullets in the bed and I'm like, oh my God, I need some air. And I couldn't turn that fan high enough on to get to make some circulation. That's the problem is how I respond. The problem is how I handle my kids when they talk back. See, the problem is that I unleash something on them instead of getting some Jesus on me and go, this is how I really need to handle this. Okay, so the problem isn't the problem. It's the way we perceive and handle the problem that's the problem. Listen, we may not be able to dictate our circumstances. I may not be able to control everything. That drives me crazy because I like to, you know, maneuver and make things happen. But we can dictate how we respond to it. You can't help it when bad things happen, but you have the utmost control over how you handle that. You got me? So happiness isn't having the just right set of circumstances that we all think. Happiness is found in taking God's vantage point on my circumstances. That's where happiness comes in. Happiness is fleeting. So let's talk real quick and then we'll move on, because some of y'all are like, we already talked about that, but I felt like I needed to relay some groundwork. The first thing is, how do I get that joy you're talking about? How do I get that joy of when all hell's coming against me and everything's going crazy? How do I perceive that in a state of joy? How do we get the joy? Joy comes from the person of God. You can write that down. Where do I get that joy? The joy comes from the person of God. It comes from knowing that he died on the cross for you. It comes from understanding who he is, that I'm not coming to church and worshiping him and listening to the word because I'm trying to get something or I feel like I got to perform a certain way. I'm living my life not for a reward, but from a reward. Okay? Number two, joy comes from the purpose of God. Now a lot of us think, okay, that's his purpose for me. No. His purpose, like, what is he here for? You got to understand, is God good? When everything is going wrong, he didn't step down off the throne and take a break. He's still there. But we forget, when everything's going wrong, when the garage door won't go up, oh my God, Jesus, why'd you let this happen? No, it's a test, and he wants to see how I'm going to handle that test. It's the purpose of God. God's still good. And joy also comes from the people of God. I told you how some people come to church not just for the music, not just for the way the word of God is communicated, but sometimes people come to church just to be around other people because it's so cool to know that Kelly's going through something. And he got out of it. Like, he had a horrible Monday. I don't know if he did, but just work with me. If he had a horrible Monday, and if he can get through that Monday, then I can get through that Monday. If Bradley and Amy can have marital issues years ago and still work through it, and you see how we do life, we're not perfect. But if they can get through it, we can get through it. So there's something about that joy comes from understanding if they can get through the bad things, then I can do it too. Are you following me? All right, let's keep going. James chapter 2, it said, 1, verse 2 said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face many trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing, everybody say test, the testing of your faith. How many enjoyed tests in school? How many of you like really good at tests in school, like pop quizzes, like teacher give a test? That's why we didn't like you, Bethany. That's why we don't like, I don't like, the. Give me the test. Teacher, can we have a pop quiz today? No, shut your mouth. You know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't ready. No, not ready. It says, but because you know that the testing of your faith, listen, develops perseverance. Everybody say develops. Develops. I wrote this down. Develops the ability to ignore the I quit option. Did you hear me? Perseverance is this thing that gets developed that ignores the option of I quit. When business is going crazy and marriage is going crazy and your boss has got you just stressed out, y'all know, I'm out of here. I quit. Oh, y'all going to talk junk? I'm out. We ain't friends no more. Remove, delete, and block on Facebook. It is crazy to know that other Christians blocking other Christians on Facebook. I thought we were supposed to be in the same family. When we get to heaven, you can't be like, I'm blocking you, I can't see you. And then when you get busted, you want everything to be unblocked. Like, I don't know what happened. Y'all keep playing them games, but y'all gonna, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I mean, is it gonna be rejoicing? Or are you gonna be like, oh man, you made it? I'm just saying. It's a test. We're not going to get along. He made us different. We're not going to get along. But he wants to know, how are you going to handle when your brother that I put you in the same church or I put you in the same city at two different churches, how y'all going to respond when y'all don't see things eye to eye? It's a test. How you doing on the test? How am I doing on the test? Get him, Jesus. Get him, Jesus. I'm just saying. Listen, I said this about tests. When we're going through things, it's like we want God to step on the scene and go, I got it, Bradley. I'm going to help you get that garage door up, buddy, so you can get that car out so life can go on. God, where you at? We want God in the middle of our storm. We want God to show up. But I told you last week, a good teacher is always silent in the middle of a test. But he gave us an open book exam. The answers are right here, but we want the easy way out. Y'all remember them? They may still have them, I don't know. The answers in the back, the math books had the answers in the back, but you had to turn it upside down. I just told them. My parents ain't in here, so it don't matter. Pray they don't listen to podcasts. But it's true. The verse said, when you face trials, listen, we're all going to face them. We're all going to face them. The only way that I'm going to walk into my destiny, the only way you're going to walk into your destiny is to walk faithfully. You may want to write that down. How can I get from this place and this mess that I'm in to the promise? Your promises to me. I mean, you can cast that off fear all you want to, but if you can't be faithful, you ain't going to see no promises. Sometimes I need those things. I need the things that I purchased. I needed it to go through a test so that I know when I sit in it or I'm doing whatever it's called and purpose to do, that it's going to function the way it was designed to do. So God's the same way. He created us, so he's going to put us through some tests so that when it's time for us to function, he wants to make sure that we function in the way he designed us to function. That's why he gives us and puts us through tests. So when you go through hard times, consider it pure joy. Don't go, I'm so happy that this is happening. But you need to look at it and go, God, thank you. Whatever it is, you're working something out of me so you can work something in me and through me. Everybody say faithful. So this really isn't even my kayak. This belongs to Miss Debbie Corwin. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this thing. And we, God, please don't let me fall. Okay, I'm too old. So, and you're like, I thought you worked out. I do, but it's a process. We treat our Christian walk like this canoe. Like once I'm saved, I can sit in it and I can just coast through like I'm good. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know, don't act. If I just get saved, I can have a padded. It's not even padded, it's hard. Can I get the padded one, God? And he gives us equipment. And this is the thing that I was thinking about. Because we think that Christianity is supposed to be so easy. It's only going to be easy. Y'all know that what's so easy about being in this when you're going down the water is if you're going with the current. The only way it's going to be easy for us is if we go with the flow. But when things get tough is when we turn it around and we start going upstream. You ever been to Rainbow and you put in it keyhole or wherever and you got to go up to the top? Well, that's upstream. That's a lot of work. I'll tube next time. I ain't doing this one. But it's true. When there's a struggle, there's always going to be a struggle. We should never get to the place where we just want to coast, because that means we're doing what everybody else is doing. Now, this is the part that got me. Many times in our Christian walk, as we're going upstream, there are some Christians that are coasting. And you will hit them. What happens is you're going upstream and people are coming downstream because they're trying to coast through. It could be Christians or non-Christians. And you hit them head on. Man, y'all know. They get ugly, don't they? Man, what you doing? Why are you trying to be different? We just supposed to do it this way as church. Why y'all got them colored lights? Why y'all got TVs? Red book? Hymnal? Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. No, listen. Anytime you try to do something different and it goes against the other people that are coming this way, you're going to hit people, whether they're Christians or non. But the part that of hitting Christians, that got me. But then I thought about this. It's important that as I'm going upstream, I keep it straight. Because if, say, that this is the way, the current's coming the way you guys are, and I'm turned sideways, I will quickly start going in the direction you guys are because, say, Janelle in her canoe hits me here, and then Kimberly hits me here, what's going to happen? Y'all are going to take me with you. So it's important that I'm steered straight. You can be trying to go upstream, but if you're cockeyed and got a little off, what's going to happen is you are going to run into people, and you're going to get pulled into what they are. So you got to make sure that if you're deciding to go upstream, you keep it straight. Are you tracking me? And then you got to make sure that you've got the equipment to stay safe, because sometimes the storm's going to come while you're rowing and while you're trying to go upstream. You may get a little bump. There may be an alligator. There may be a shark in, I don't know, sturgeon, whatever, and it's going to try to tip you over. And you might get tipped out of your boat. You need to make sure. You need to make sure you got protection. You need to make sure you've got something to float to keep you up. Don't just get in the boat and go, I'm cool, I'm saved, I'm going to make it to heaven. Man, you're going to go through some rough patches, and you need to make sure you've got an oar to help keep your direction and make sure you got a flotation device. I told you it wasn't going to be deep, but I'm telling you, it hit me. I never need to get relaxed and start going in the direction of everybody else. Matter of fact, I don't even have to do that. I can just sit there, eat Krispy Kreme donuts and Starbucks all day long. We should always be striving to go against the current, to go against the norm. As long as it lines up with God's word and as long as it's about his purpose, we should always be striving to go upstream. If you believe it, say amen. I believe it. So verse 3 said that tests produce perseverance. The definition of perseverance, listen, I found this. This is awesome. Perseverance, to continue in a state of grace. You received grace. Grace should be operational and functional in your life through every circumstance. That's perseverance, to continue in a state of grace. How many knows it's one thing to start something, but it's another thing to see it through and finish? You know what I'm saying? It's one thing. You can start it. You can start. Anybody can start a church. Anybody can start a church. The real question is, will we continue to be a church? Anybody can get saved and be a Christian, but will you continue to live it out and walk that? Anybody can start a marriage, but it takes real people to continue being married. Listen, anybody can start a family, but it takes a real man and a real woman to continue being a good mom and a good dad. Man, my dogs can create a family, but it takes a real dog and a real man and a real woman to see that thing through. Anybody can start having dreams. Anybody can think, man, 20 acres in a building. Anybody can have a dream and a vision. But the question is, when all hell's coming against you the odds are against you and you don't know what to do, the real test is, will you see that through? Or will you hit the I quit function and go, I quit, I'm out? Oh, y'all think I'm just talking to y'all, hoping somebody in the room? I'm talking to me. When tests come, we can just easily hit that little target, but you know that little red, I quit, I'm out. Man, my uncles used to tickle me all the time when I was young, and I hated that because I'm real ticklish, and they made me say uncle. I say it to God, uncle, sitting on the lawnmower in the rain. Okay, God, uncle. thought y'all was going to be with me. But listen, James is like, listen, you're not going to get out of this test. Stop. I'm talking to somebody. You're going through a test. Stop trying to get out of it. Stop trying to get out of it. If you want to move forward, you've got to continue in a state of grace. You've got to look at your situation with a joyful perception. It's called state of grace. You'll find that once you go through one trial, remember what I said, as long as you're going upstream, once you run into somebody that doesn't like your concept, doesn't like how you're doing life, doesn't like how you're raising your kids, you're going to find that once that settles and they go by, there's going to be another person. Why? Because you're trying to go against the norm. You're trying to go against culture. I get nervous when people aren't talking ugly about me. I get nervous, and you should too. If everybody's got nice things to say and liking all your posts and reposting all, get nervous. I want people to be mad. I want people to block me. Because it means I'm making a difference. I'm shaking the apple cart just a little bit. That's how we need to be. I'm not trying to pee people off, tick people off. I almost said, I'm not trying to do that. But what I do want to shake people up and go, you know what? This thing is real. People's lives are at stake. We're out here playing games. You're going to face trials. Stop trying to get out of it. Why? Because it develops perseverance. Can we just say that together? God in me, develop perseverance. Why that? Because it develops in you the ability to ignore the I'm out of this, I'm out, I quit. The I quit factor. All right, let's go to verse 4. It says, perseverance must, everybody say must. Perseverance must finish its work. Why? So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let me tell you something. Just because you've been Christian a long time, just because you've been ministry a long time, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't give you a sign of maturity. Experience gives you maturity. I can be 41 or however old I am. I can be that age, but it's 41, I think. But my age doesn't make me mature. It's the things that I've been through, that I've walked through, that now I know. You know what? God got me through that. He'll get me through this thing that I'm going through right here. I'm not trying to get out of stuff anymore. I'm like, I'm in it. I'm in it for the long haul. It doesn't matter. Come hill or high water, no garage door going up, no air. I'm in this thing. Hit me with your best shot. Fire away. That's how I am. Come on, devil. That's all you got? Quiet in the church house tonight. That's okay. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I read this in the Message translation. Oh, check this out. This was incredible. Same verses, chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Why? You know that under pressure, listen, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Man, we got too many deficient Christians sitting in churches taking up pew residence. Why? Because they're not allowing God to do anything in their life. As long as it's cool, as long as they can go with the flow, as long as they're not bumping heads with anybody, as long as they're not getting corrected with anything, I'm cool. But don't mess with me. That's called deficiency. I don't want to be deficient. You ever bought a deficient product that just didn't work the way it was supposed to? It could have been that somebody took it off the assembly line just a little bit too early. We're trying to get out of this thing too soon. Maybe this one's just for me tonight. I don't know. But God is saying, unless you go through these trials, you're going to be deficient. Listen, I'm just trying to help somebody tonight. Unless you go through them, stop trying to get out. Go through them. You've got to walk through this thing. We're walking through mature and complete, not deficient in any way. James is writing and challenging us to recognize that there is tension in the faith. It's called tension. Tension is good. Stop trying to relieve the pressure. Tension is good. You will face trials. But verse 13, let's go down to verse 13, same chapter, chapter 1, verse 13. Because he starts to discuss this thing about temptations. And this is what he says. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire. Everybody say, it's my own. So you can no longer say God is tempting me, because we just cleared that up. And you can't say the devil made me do it. Where'd the temptation come from? It came from a desire inside of you. So when you mess up, it's your fault, basically is what I'm saying. By his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after his desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. God allows trials to happen to us to pull out the best in us. Did you hear that? God allows trials and things to happen to us to pull out the best in us, while the devil brings temptation to bring out the worst in all of us. The devil brings temptation to pull out the worst in us. We must come to grip with the fact that in this faith journey, we're going to constantly be in the tension of both trials and temptation. Listen, trials we trying to get out of, and temptations we're going to want to get into. Temptation, sin, is pleasurable for a season. We do it, why? Because it's fun. That's why we do it. That's why we sin. That's why we do it. It's fun. If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. But we're going through. What's that song we sing? In Christ alone, cornerstone, whether weak, made strong, in the Savior's love. This is the line I like. We're going through the storm. Why? Because he is Lord. He's Lord of all. We're going through the storm. Stop trying to get out of the test. Stop trying to get out of the storm. Bless God, go through it. And you'll get there faster if you'll keep moving. We stop, have a pity party, 10,000 posts on Facebook about how everything ain't going right in our world, blocking people left and right. They need to see your struggle. They need to see how you're giving it to God. They need to see how bad what you're going through is, and then how good your God is and how you came through it. They need to see that. Stop blocking people just because they're in your business. If five people going to clap, we should just all clap tonight. Come on, just put it together. Golf clapping and stuff. I'm serious. Let people see the struggle you're in. Don't be ashamed. Just know that where you are, you don't have to stay. The length of your stay depends on you. The length of how long you stay there, that's up to you. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. James writes in what we just read, he used the phrase dragged away or enticed. Listen, those are hunting terms. Those are hunting terms. I'm getting ready to break this down. We're getting ready to land. Dragged away or enticed. Listen, the enemy sets up traps for you. Listen, zone in right here. Don't let me lose you. The enemy, this is where it's life or death stuff right here. The enemy is setting up traps for us. I know it's probably no surprise or no shock. I'm not big into hunting or fishing. I know y'all's like, really? But when I was younger, my stepdad and my stepbrothers, we would go fishing when we lived in Georgia. They'd go fishing, and they thought it was funny for me to hook the worm. That ain't nothing. I have no desire to do that. And you got to put it on there, you know, because I was just like trying to loop the whole thing. No. You got to do it in a way so that it'll still move to entice the fish, right? Well, then I learned when we came down to Daytona, I was just a little dude, came down to Daytona and went deep sea fishing. I thought we was hooking worms. No, it was like squid and stuff. Ooh, it's cool. I'm glad y'all do. Just don't ask me to come with you. I'll drive the boat for you, but I ain't doing it. Why? It's not even really had to do with my stomach being queasy. It has everything to do with I just don't have patience to sit there. If the enemy has one positive thing about him, he's very, very patient. The enemy is very, very patient. And the other thing is, he knows your bait. He knows your bait. I couldn't have went to Daytona and went out in that big ship where people were throwing up and all that stuff. I did catch I caught a little fish. I had it on a plaque. It was just a little bitty guy. I had it on a plaque for a long time. I don't know what happened to it. Too many moves ago, I guess, but he didn't make it. But literally, he didn't make it. Ba-dum-bum. Anyway, so... But the enemy knows, he knows your bait. See, real fishermen are patient. And they also understand there's a certain bait for a certain type of fish. The enemy's waiting. He's waiting. Listen, trials we must walk through. But temptations we must recognize how to defeat the enemy in our life. And I'm coming down. I want to give you 4 points and we're done. I did pretty good. I cut out a lot, but it's good. 4 points I want to give you on how to defeat the enemy. How to fight against temptation. How to fight against temptation. Okay? Number one, take responsibility. I know, that's tough, ain't it? Take responsibility for your actions. Stop saying, God sent me the temptation. No, he didn't. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. It was something on the inside of you. Take responsibility. It starts on the inside. Listen, I wrote this down. Until you take responsibility, you can never walk in true freedom. Until you take responsibility for where you are, the things that are happening to you, it is your fault. That sounded hard. Let me say it this way. It is a result of choices and things you've done. All of us, me included, the hurts that I still have from a long time ago, that have tried to creep in and cause me not to be the Bradley that God needs me to be to reach people. All those hurts, I got to understand. Some of those things were my fault, because I didn't want to take responsibility. It's their fault that I'm like this. It's their fault that I put up walls. It's their fault that I don't trust nobody. But what part did I play in that caused them to lash out the way they did? I got to look at myself and go, what part did I play? So number one, take responsibility for your actions. Number two, take protection. You need to protect yourself before you wreck yourself. Oh, I'm serious. Well, maybe the whole problem is we just don't know. We don't trust. We don't even value what God's put inside of us. So why in the world would I need protection? I don't really value. I mean, that's what you're saying. You may say, oh, I value what God's put inside of me. But if you're not protecting it, what you're saying is it's of no value. Protect yourself. Raise the standard. Set new boundaries. Those of you that are single, set new boundaries in your dating relationship. Take protection. Remember, the enemy is patient and he learns your bait. Think about boxing. I don't really watch it, but there's one thing that I know about boxing is that whatever the jab is, if it's a right hook in the face, or they got a rib cage and they tie up and then they have to go back to their corners, the coach will always tell the boxer, what? Go for the weak spot. Go for the weak spot. Some of you have been going through the same struggle, the same test, the same temptation over and over and over. You know why? Because the devil knows your weakness. He knows the weak spot. I was thinking about myself and things that I've been through and the reasons that I succumbed to those things and allowed those things to happen. It's because he was always hitting me because he knew my weak spot. Well, if I'd have had protection and if I'd have had things around me and people around me that were looking out for my best interest, that wouldn't have happened. If I would take responsibility for the things that the part that I played, that wouldn't have happened. So some of you that are facing the same thing over and over and over, some of it's because you've said, God, get me out, and you just walked away. Well, guess what? I can be sick the day of a test, but when I come back the next Monday after the Friday exam, that test is still sitting on my desk waiting for me. And Jesus is the same way. You can't graduate to the next level and to the next thing he wants you to do until you pass the test. And then the enemy's there, and he's going to hit you with his best shot, and he's going to keep jabbing wherever you're weakest. So in those areas where you're weak, you got to say, I'm strong. I got to set boundaries. I got to raise the standard. It doesn't matter how you go, I'm blessed and highly favored. It doesn't matter how loud you sing in worship. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church. If you don't start protecting yourself, you're going to start feeling and continue feeling the punch. It doesn't matter how much you give in the offering. It doesn't matter how much you serve in Kids Connect or greet and shake hands out front. If you don't protect yourself, you're going to continue to feel the force of the blow. Keep playing games if you want to, but there's going to come a point where you're on your back and you can't do anything but look up, and he will then let you realize that what you needed the whole time was him. And all you can see from that position is up, and you can see straight up to heaven. And he's not condemning. He's not a I told you so God. He's just saying, I was what you needed the whole time. But we go through stuff and we get mad and I can't measure up, so I'm going to take a break from church. I'm going to take a break from God. I'm going to take a break from this. I'm going to take a break from that. When you start taking breaks, the enemy's coming after you. He's coming after your family. It is not a play date. It's life or death. It's okay to, somebody say, are you talking about missing church? Hear me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you got to make sure that you stay strong and we stay strong together, because the enemy is coming after you at your weakest moment and at your weakest point. So take protection. Number three, take accountability. Take accountability. I know what you're thinking. That's that creepy guy that's going to call me at 8:00 at night every Tuesday, every Thursday. How you doing, brother? Just checking on you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Accountability partners. Hey, man, you cool? I'm not talking about that accountability. I'm talking about people that are walking the same way you are. Do life with people. Come and bowl with us. And then while we're sitting around, you know, hey man, can we just step outside for a second? I got something heavy on my heart. It's accountable. It's not Bradley going to call you and go, hey, are you okay? I feel like there's something wrong with you. You want to talk about it? I'm not saying accountability things and stuff are bad. I'm just saying, just do life with people. It's so funny when people get into bad times in marriage. This is the thing that freaks me out. They never want to counsel with somebody who actually knows them. They want to go out because they don't want anybody to know their junk. Let me tell you something. I need somebody that knows a little something about me. I need somebody that's got the same Holy Ghost in them that I got in me, that's actually going to look out for my best interest. Not some Joe Blow, some crazy cat that just got it in a book and he's got a plaque on a wall. I'm not trying to be so hard. I'm just saying, I want somebody who's invested in me to speak into my life. So it's called accountability. Man, when Amy and I first started dating, I said I was bringing this plane down, didn't I? I am. But when we first started dating, one of the first, we worked at the same company. We were supervisors in management for a teleconferencing center, large corporation. And I got this email from Amy. And the first question she asked me was, what's your goals in life? Whoa, hey. And I knew the call of God was on my life, but at the time I wasn't living right because I'd already been through a divorce. I'd already been through crazy stuff, the church judging me because of all kinds of stuff that was out of my control. Hello. When people fall and people make bad choices, dear God, they should be coming to church. They should never feel like they can't come to church because nobody will talk to me because who are you? Your sin may look different from theirs, but I guarantee you in your closet, you got skeletons. I'm fed up with Christians. People, I can't come to church because so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Man, we need to drop that stuff. People's lives are at stake. Church is playing games. Ain't no time for that. Accountability is about vulnerability and transparency. Did I start something that I didn't finish? Because I think I wanted to say something. Was I somewhere? Oh, yeah. She said, what's your goals? She didn't know it. And she didn't really know a lot about me. But see, I had been dating people that just wanted something that I could do for them, not wanting to know where I was going. See, she didn't know about the call of God on my life. But for her to go, what's your goals in life? That let me know that she didn't want to stay in the town that she was in, you know, Smallville. She was going somewhere. And she wanted to make sure that I was going somewhere too, that I wasn't going to hold her back. So she didn't understand it, nor did she know, but she became an accountability for me. Does that mean we always made the right choices? No. But it was putting me in the right direction because I was running. Y'all ever ran from God? Maybe it was just me. Sorry. Number four, take a weapon. How are you going to fight against temptation? Take a weapon. The Bible has been said that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus defeated the devil in the desert by what? Quoting the scripture. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's kind of like having a gun and you don't realize, you know, if an enemy comes, how many of y'all got guns? Don't raise your hand. I know that was politically incorrect for me to even do that. I'm so sorry. But say an intruder was coming into your house and you had a gun. You did not realize that it had a safety on it. You're new to the whole gun thing and you tried to shoot and couldn't. Because the safety was on. We got Christians walking around with Bibles that don't know how to activate it when the enemy comes. Same effect. Y'all remember what I said? If two or three people clap, you all got to clap. Somebody got to get on board. It's true. Too many Christians going, the word says, hold on, let me find it. Greater is he that is in me than the one that's walking around trying to defeat me in this world. Come on, stand to your feet. What you need to know is when you're going through things, you need to start saying, I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I'm not a quitter. I'm not running. I'm in this thing. I know that's heavy for a Wednesday night, but some of you need to be shaken up a little bit. And then, I just did. And then you need to stand on the word of God. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he's doing that. Stand on the word of God. Let that be the cornerstone of your marriage. Let that be the cornerstone of your kids. You've got the power. If it's not happening in your home, the only one responsible for it is you. Oh, and I'm talking to myself. If it's not functioning and operating in your household, it is nobody's fault but your own. You have a weapon. It's called God's word. It's time to start fighting back tonight. We're gonna make it through. We sang it tonight. It doesn't matter how I feel. They hurt my feelings. They don't know. They don't understand. It doesn't matter what I see.
Things just don't look like they're gonna work out.
Silence that voice. Silence that voice. It is going to work out because I'm surrendering my life. This thing will work out. I don't have to stay in this. So therefore, I'm going to equip myself. I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to have people around me to hold me accountable. I'm going to stay protected. I'm going to protect this stuff that God's put in me. Says, don't cast your pearl before the swine. Don't put all your goods out there. Hello, that's in dating. That's in relationships. That's in when God's got something for you to give to certain people. Don't, if they're not ready, you need to hold it in. Why am I feeling like I'm needing to pour everything out tonight? Because I know there's some people in the house that are ready. I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to equip you. Doggone it. If this is the visual you see, and it may be funny, but what you need to remember is this. Oh, yeah. I got to be protected. I got to protect what God's put inside of me. Don't let the devil steal it. You're more than a conqueror. And we all getting through this. Do you believe it? Father, I thank you for this time and your word together tonight.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.